Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, Rod Oram. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mike. Very well, thank you.
You're back from abroad?
I am, yes.
Good times?
Absolutely fascinating, as always, but terrific to be home too.
Now, you didn't swing by Davos on your way through?
No, I've never been. On one hand, I'm fascinated by it, but on the other hand, it's a real jamboree and hard to get to the heart of things, unless, as a journalist, you are a distinguished journalist from a mighty organ, then you get invited to the really interesting things. there's not much point in me turning up as a freelancer from New Zealand.
any point in Jacinda Ardern, our Prime Minister, turning up there?
Yes, she was there, but that's fine. She was well featured, so it's fine if you're a featured guest or a cosseted attendee in some way, but a freelance journalist from New Zealand wouldn't make it, I'm afraid.
I invite you, Rod. So did she do a good job over there? Was it important she was there? Any results come out of her visit to the World Economic Forum?
The World Economic Forum.
Yes, I'll come back and explain a bit of the history and context of the forum in a moment, because that really helps explain a lot. But yes, it was important she was there. It would be important any year, but with turmoil, huge turmoil in Europe and in the US, and the absence of a number of leaders, not just Trump, but Macron and May, for example, as well, that gave other politicians more of a chance to shine. And so she was on, I think, at least a couple of panels. It was hard to keep track from here. One on climate change, and she got some good coverage. So that's very good to have that profile. And in terms of what comes out of it, that's a lot more. That's a lot less tangible, because nothing's agreed as such. There aren't sort of great declarations that have any great weight or meaning. So there's not a to-do list that comes out of Davos, but it is very. But being there and having a high profile and being well received, which she was, is important for her personally and her government, but it's also important for New Zealand too, as a piece of relationship building
Interesting to read the room, wouldn't it? To be in there and sort of go, okay.
That would be. And I would have loved to have been there to have seen that. Reports directly on that are really scant. Very few New Zealanders go. I'm trying to who aren't directly involved, like in her delegation.
Right.
I would love to try. I'm not sure how much effort I put into this. Try and track down any New Zealanders that did go. So I'd love to have that some eyewitness account, which I don't have.
So tell us a wee bit about the history about it. You're just going to tell?
The redoubtable Klaus Schwab, a Swiss gentleman who is now of great age, he must be in his 80s, started the World Economic Forum decades ago. So this is the annual jamboree of the World Economic Forum. And it's a typical Schwab thing of building relationships and networking, all that kind of stuff. So it's the real global economic and political elite. By one account, 1,500 of the delegates turned up in private jets. Now, Davos which is some significant proportion of the large number of people who went. So that's the sort of place it is. And it gets an awful lot of headlines for the sort of issues that...
The opulence?
All of that. However, it's really important to remember, and there is no, there are some grand declarations and all the rest, and it would be easy to dismiss all that or just take it as a bunch of hot air. However, the World Economic Forum is a really interesting organization that has morphed quite a lot over the decades. So it started off as a pretty hard line, we're all in this for business, and you know what's good for business is good for the rest of everybody else, and all that kind of stuff. In the last, I'd say, decade or decade and a half, it has deep expertise, and it's put that expertise to understand what's going on in the world. So, for example, its global annual risk analysis is a really interesting piece of research about, you know, what are the big issues in the world and how, what's causing them, how do they impact on each other, what might we do about it. And another example of how they are far more forward-thinking is they are very much on, they are one of the leading edges, you know, they don't have the answer to everything, on where a whole bunch of things are going, whether it's privacy or whether it's industry 4.0 or whatever. Yeah. So, and they have working groups on that. They have a really good working group on the future of food and agriculture, for example, which I think is a really good piece of work. And above all, they are remarkably committed to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which are the 17 goals that the UN put in place 2-3 years back, which are not just for developing countries, but they're for developed countries as well. And they do really good work to measure countries' performance against those goals. We do okay, but not great on that. And really good working groups and the rest. So
was it one of those working groups where Jacinda Ardern would have, Jacinda Ardern would have put the pitched the wellbeing budget and sort of discussed that? Would it be one of those groups, or was that more, sort of a come over to our stall and hear about our budget sort of thing?
I don't know exactly. I'm sorry, I'm so vague.
That's all right.
On her program, and I wish it had been better explained by her office. But no, that would have played right into those sustainable development goals. And but I still think there's this kind of separation at Davos. You've got all those programs, all that heavy lifting with major corporates involved in them. It's not just something that Klaus and his mates think up. And then you've got Davos, which is very showy, you know, the big presentations, the networking, all the rest. And while it's playing to those themes that the World Economic Forum develops, I don't think it's explicitly quite that structured.
Right.
But still, you know, there's lots of important people around who are very involved on those issues. So you do get billionaires fulminating against suggestions that the rich should pay more taxes. There was actually a wonderful moment that I spotted that in that debate, American billionaire fulminated, well, name one country where that's ever worked that the rich have been so highly taxed. And an American economist on the panel said the United States. Because in the history of income tax, that is, so I mean, one should go to Davos for these exquisite moments.
Yeah.
I feel
like you really wanted to be there, Rod. I can hear it in your voice. Oh.
If I could get into the right rooms at the right time, of course I would go. But
if there's anything, next time round, if there's anything I can help do, I don't know whether I'm in a position to do it, but if there was any reason, I'll trump in a good word for
look,
you.
Look, please don't take this suggestion seriously, but if you had a whip around on BFM and I could be the BFM correspondent in Davos, let's talk about that.
Okay, but don't take that seriously. But I mean, but if we did, hey, all right, well, that brings us to tax, and there's a big conversation, quite boring presentation by the leader of the opposition, Simon Bridges, yesterday, talking about tax. He's saying that he's going to get rid of the capital gain tax that the government are suggesting. He said that he'll get rid of that if the National get in the next election, they'll get rid of the Auckland fuel tax. There's a whole bunch of stuff he's talking about there. He's talking about the tax brackets being shifted as well, which means that where we decide from, taking into account people's income, how much money they earn a year, tells you what tax bracket they're going into, and that's all being sort of going to be tickled around with by the National Party if they get in. Where do you think we're sitting with all that at the moment? Where do you think the tax working group's going to come out with, and when do you think they're going to come out with it?
Very soon. I think possibly even this week's almost done, but it's very imminent. And it's very interesting how it's being played down. So in interviews, Cullen, there was one in the Herald recently, was really low-keyed about what was in there. And I don't know whether this is him being the experienced politician he is, and sort of dampening things down ahead of time. I would be actually disappointed, and they would have failed their mandate if they were quite as low-key as he seemed to be suggesting. So I'm still hoping it's going to be a very useful document, because it'll go beyond such investigations before. It's supposed to go beyond. In the past, the investigations have got to the point of saying, well, there would be benefits, but there are difficulties.
Oh, but it's just yes. Oh, there'd be even be oh.
That's never really been deeply explored. So, the purpose of this was working group is to explore that more fully. However, it's really clear that this is one heck of a political fight coming, I lay my cards on the table here. The economic and social and any justice, you know, any other kind of key measure you'd want to make of the validity of a capital gains tax is very clear to me. And we should have one. Now,
yeah, I think we should as well. I don't know why people. I don't know what the deal is here.
Well, the simple issue is this, that if you work for a living, your income is taxed, and if you have profits from things, those are taxed. But if you have capital gains on an investment, those are very likely and only partially taxed. And that's a huge distortion in the system. Now, trying to put that right, you're fighting great...
And way towards those people that have a lot of money and a lot of assets.
Correct. So those people are fighting rearguard action. They say how complicated the whole thing is, which it is, and it won't raise much money. It won't in the first, 5-10 years. But over time, it would make that the economy better balanced and less distorted and fairer to people. But I'm afraid that very straightforward proposition gets just. People pile on with all the other stuff, that very quickly gets lost. And you see what Bridges is setting up there. He's setting up an appeal to a number of voters. It would be quite a few.
Oh, yes.
Let's have less taxes. We'll lower your tax brackets. You won't have oil and fuel tax. You won't have gains. Well, then, so what's how's the government going to raise the money that this country needs to do the stuff it needs to do? And he can't answer that. Because he doesn't have an answer, because what he's suggesting isn't an answer. That's very simply where the tax debate's going.
But if you've got some cash and you're only skim listening, it sounds attractive, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And you only need to persuade, 40-some% of the public that that's a good thing, and then
boom, you're in.
you form the next government.
Hey, Rod, very quickly, because we're going to run out of time. I just want to get your thoughts very quickly on the Kiwi Build decision, the announcement that the government made also recently, the last couple of days, where they're scrapping the interim targets for Kiwi Build. They're sticking with 100,000. And however many years' time, but they haven't been able to get them up and running, the building up and running the way that they wanted to. Is it possible? Are they dreaming? Do we need to shake up the industry? But really quickly.
Well, we need to shake up the industry, because Kiwi Build's never made any sense, because it's never addressed the issue of how do you increase the building capacity, which isn't there. That's always been the weakness in this. It was always going to have to be a slow burn anyway in the early years whilst that issue was solved.
Yeah.
The government hasn't done enough to solve that, nor has the industry. And that's what's got to be fixed. Over 10 years, could you eventually get to that target? Yes, but only if the government is far more effective, and the sector too, about massively increasing the construction industry capacity. It's just not there to do it. It never has been. Lots of people, not just I'm one of lots of people who have been saying that, and lots of good things have been put in, useful things have been put in place, but still not enough of that bedrock issue. I mean, it's blindingly obvious.
Yep. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Rod. That's been great talking to you this morning. We'd love talking to you. We'll talk to you again very shortly.
Thanks, Mike. My great pleasure.
All the best. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.